Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Welcome to an all-new episode of The Payoff. I'm Tom. That's Jeff. Jeff, how the hell are you, man?
Man, I'm feeling good. You know, it's a big wrestling week, as always. We've got, you know, we got Clash at the Castle. We got All Out. Like, I'm going to be on the now wife is going to love me for sitting on the couch all weekend, the first weekend after we get married. But you know what? I can't help it. So that's what we're dealing with now.
Look at you.
I know, and, man.
People listening may not know this, but when he proposed, he actually did it in the Macho Man voice.
That's right. I had to. Like, yeah, she was.
Oh, a little you married me. She responded with, "Oh yeah."
He told me it was okay to cry. We'll talk about that clip a little later, but you know what? Like, it's all good stuff happening. But hey, you know what? Like, hey, I gotta, you know, let her know early. Hey, this is my life now. You've decided to spend your life dealing with this, and this is what you get. So there you go.
Well, this is an interesting show, and what? Just a great three-way match, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is one we kind of picked it. I was looking at this time of year. And so we're kind of a little later than, you know, I wanted to be on this. A couple of weeks prior is when this took place. And so also for me, it was in my hometown, Detroit, Michigan. And so at Joe Louis Arena, the former building. And so little hometown vibes on this one as well, too. So, this was one of those where, again, you know, normally we'd be kind of, you know, covering SummerSlam this time of year and then looking through like, hey, where were some good matches? Like this one, pretty high ranked. And so, and hard to say that, you know, with these three guys in the ring, you would hope it lives up to it. And so I'm just excited to kind of watch it.
Yeah, me too. Let's get right into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
So we're in Detroit. Were you there?
I was not there for this one. No. And so, because 2002, this would have been the summer I graduated high school. And so
I thought we were the same.
Yeah, same. And so I was not in attendance, but I do remember watching it though. Yes.
Okay. July 21st, 2002. So this is the month before we got Brock Rock.
Yep.
The month before we got Shawn Michaels and Triple H. That was just a great, great SummerSlam, arguably the best SummerSlam ever. So
yeah, very good. Yep.
We open up with a tag team elimination tables match, 15-minute match, Dudley's over Benoit and Guerrero. Jamie Noble's going to retain his Cruiserweight Championship in 7 minutes against Billy Kidman. Jeff Hardy's going to retain his European Championship against William Regal. I'm just starting to count how many championships we have here.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Now, do you know the significance of this next match?
I do not.
John Cena's pay-per-view debut.
Oh man. Yeah, that's right.
Chris Jericho.
Six put over the young kid. Look at that.
20 years later. Yep. And Cena hasn't wrestled his last match. Jericho hasn't wrestled his last match. Van Damme is going to keep his IC title against Brock Lesnar. DQ, I think Lesnar probably just beat the hell out of him, but obviously they're keeping him strong for coming off the King of the Ring and leading up to SummerSlam. Booker T is going to defeat the Big Show in a no DQ match in 6 minutes. Christian and Lance Storm are going to defeat Edge and Hollywood Hulk Hogan to win the tag team championships in 10 minutes. Edge and Hogan together. It's actually kind of a fun team. And then the main event, the triple threat match for the Undisputed Championship. Star-wise, couple three-star matches, couple duds. But very, very high rated main event. That's what we're here to talk about. But so this is kind of fun. Let's, you know, this is crazy, right? 20 years ago. And I'm just looking through his card and Bubba's still wrestling. Jeff Hardy will wrestle again, obviously. Cena will wrestle again. Jericho's still wrestling. Van Damme still gets in the ring. Lesnar still wrestles. Booker T probably hasn't wrestled his last match. He comes out every once in a while. He's just in a Harlem Heat tag team.
They were just talking about Harlem Heat. Yeah.
Big Show will wrestle again. Christian's active. Edge is active. Probably see The Rock again. Probably see Taker again.
Yep.
Might even see Angle again. Just crazy 20 years ago and how many of these guys are actually still active. It's quite a few. Build standpoint, how do we get to this chaotic triple threat? I feel like this was at a time when titles were switching quite often, maybe more so than we would have liked.
Yeah, and this one too, there was a lot kind of happening in a short time frame with this one. Like, so there was some story happening and things like that. But like, you're right. I feel like this is almost like a battle of the belts or a clash of champions with just how many belts they had on this card too. And so, I definitely would have added that Edge Hollywood, Un-Americans match to our list too, because it's such a weird pairing. When I saw it, I was like, I'd forgotten all about it. So we'll go back to that one day, but yeah. So this one, we'll go back. We'll start actually King. So, well, this Vengeance, I'll start there. It was July 21st, 2002 when it was taking place, but we're going to go back to like just a month previous. King of the Ring still happening. Bring it back. Hopefully we will. The Undertaker actually beat Triple H to retain his title. And so in that match, you had The Rock interfering. And so you wanted The Undertaker having a match with The Rock, which Mr. McMahon granted. So, and they said that it was going to be at this Vengeance pay-per-view for the championship. So it started as just the two of them, actually. And so you then had just early July, about 3 weeks prior to this pay-per-view, the Undertaker actually wrestling Kurt Angle. It was a draw for the championship match. And so you had a kind of shenanigans. You had the Undertaker pinning Angle, then also tapping out to Angle's submission at the same time. And so the next week, if you will, the next episode on Raw. So that was SmackDown on Raw. Then you had it becoming a triple threat match. Vince McMahon saying that Angle would be added to it. So then it really, over the next couple of weeks, you had just these three guys kind of, you know, having run-ins on each other. And so you had the Rock actually, you know, confronting Angle. You had Undertaker attacking both of them. You had, of course, and you know, we haven't had this in a while, but the will they get along, won't they? Have you had Angle teaming up with Chris Jericho and John Cena? You had Angle teaming up with Chris Jericho against John Cena and the Undertaker, but then the Rock interfering in that one and giving both guys the Rock Bottom. And so just a lot of back and forth. Then again, even there's another DQ match after that. So really, it was almost not even weekly. It was every SmackDown and every Raw. These guys, the story was playing out. Like, they were interfering with each other's matches. But I will say, I am okay with how this played out, though, because they didn't have a whole lot as of June. But then every week, they were building the story and something was happening. And so with that, I think it was a nice, tight little build with just kind of how they got here, kind of what was happening, because they really had to. There wasn't a whole lot other than them just kind of running in, interfering, and then, of course, the inevitable will they, won't they get along, and then we get to this pay-per-view. And so it was literally 3 days before this, you had, so there, like I said, this was July 21st. On the 18th, it was that SmackDown. You had The Rock beating Angle by DQ because the Undertaker interfering. So a lot of interference, a lot of that happening in the build up to this one. And so we get the three way kind of knowing what was happening for a couple of weeks. So it just made sense.
Well, you know, we've had this conversation before, but it's just tough to really screw it up when you've got these guys involved, you know. Yep. I mean, in there, even Taker, it's like in his entire career, how many like things did he do that sucked? I mean, there were a handful, but it's because the opponent was just horrible. But, you know, for the most part, I mean, hell, everything. I'm just trying to think, like, here's the crazy thing about like Taker. It's like, when's the last time he did something that really, really sucked? And yeah, the main event with Reigns wasn't the greatest. I get it. But it's like, I mean, what, the last 10, 12 years of his career, everything was either really good to excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
I mean, Brock Lesnar, when's the last time has he done anything that was bad since he came back? The only thing I can even think about was the Ambrose match at WrestleMania sucked. It was a letdown. But I mean, it's just some of these guys, it's just like, I don't know if we necessarily appreciate the fact that they're just so good that like nothing they do you know, isn't awesome.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Well, we're at the 2 hour and 16 minute mark. If you'd like to watch along, 2 hours and 16 minutes, Vengeance 2002 season two. You ready, Jeff?
Let's get into this one. I'm excited.
I am too. It's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
Our friends being very, very cautious here in the early going.
JR on commentary.
Earl Hebner officiating. Yeah.
Nobody wants to make a mistake.
Angle with these like red, white, and blue camo tights that are
the camo. Yeah, it's good. That's awesome.
I wasn't a fan of Taker's short red.
Yeah, nobody was.
Hair.
Yeah,
this was this the big evil version of him?
I believe so. Yeah,
I think that's what they. I just not a fan. So both guys.
Yep. Rock, right Rock after
and
him.
Taker going after Angle. We're off and running.
So right into it. Here we go. Both guys kind of going after Angle.
God, man, you just watch Angle moving around, and that was what was missing in his last run. He just didn't. You know, some guys can get away with it, right? Like, you know, Ric Flair at 73 years old. It's like you watch him in the ring, and you're like, hasn't missed a beat. And I mean, obviously he has. But, you know, with Angle, his game was just so, like, quick and agile and moved around. And so when he came back and he wasn't moving at exactly that pace, it was so noticeable. And it's weird because it's like Taker come back now and, you know, you barely can notice it. Like Rock wrestles another match and you're like, he looks the exact same. They don't. But like when a guy like Angle is so like known for that movement, it's just a lot different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I too, I'm behind. It's just something that has not. Have you been watching the A&E biography? I actually did catch a lot of the Lex Luger one. I'm
behind. I haven't seen Angle. I haven't seen Luger. And if there's, the last one I watched was the Bellas.
Okay. Yeah. And so, yeah. So the first couple, there was, of course, Goldberg and Taker as well, too.
Yeah. Those are the three.
I think DX is on there as well too. There, yeah, that was the other one. So, yeah, I didn't watch it. I caught clips of it, but I kind of stopped trying to. You know, if a clip would come up or something, I wouldn't watch it because I wanted to see the whole thing and the kind of the story they were telling. But, yeah, it's just kind of the behind the scenes. You know, yeah, obviously everybody knows a lot of the story of the broken neck and all that different stuff. And so, but I think they've done the ones I've seen. They've done a good job. I think they've gotten better. And so I think kind of portraying. From what I can tell, like, you know, telling the story a little bit better seems to be the way to go on those. But yeah, one I need to watch too.
Well, I'm pumped to see Luger, pumped to see Angle.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just love that stuff. I mean, to me, you can't, like, they can't do enough of those things. And
yep.
You know, it's just interesting because it's like, you know, sometimes I wonder, Jeff, like, do you consider yourself to be like a hardcore fan?
I do, yeah.
I do too, but then how many minutes of Raw do you watch on an average Monday?
That's fair. Raw.
How many minutes of SmackDown do you average week?
Those two, probably an hour, maybe two, like fast forwarding. Like I'm not sitting through all three hours or all 2 hours. Yeah.
So it's weird. So it's like, how do you define a hardcore fan? Because, you know, I could see someone being like, well, a hardcore fan would watch Raw, would watch SmackDown, would watch AEW, may even watch Impact. But like, you know, like you're, and I'm like, well, that's not me. I'm watching a little bit of those TV shows. I don't watch any of Impact, but I mean, I'm watching a little bit here and there, but I watch every pay-per-view. I don't miss any company's pay-per-view. And then, but my point where I'm going with this is when it comes to like, any documentaries. So the Rival series, the A&E biography, and you know, any Steve Austin podcast. Like, I never ever miss any of that. Maybe I'll get behind on it, but like Austin's podcasts, I will watch every single one of them, no matter who's on it, start to finish, like no question. So it's like I consume a ton of it. It's just the one thing I'm not consuming is like the weekly TV shows. So yep. My point is, I think it's important that they offer all these different things. You know, the other thing too is like you think about like different generations of fans, and like I was just thinking about this recently because, you know, now we've been talking about how TV contracts are coming up, AEW and WWE. And I said, you know, to me, the importance of nostalgia, if I'm WWE, is that, okay, I get Steve Austin to come to WrestleMania and I paid him $5 million. Who cares? Okay. He comes on at WrestleMania and you've got some young kids. What are you going to do? You're going to show them a shit ton of Steve Austin clips, right? And then you're probably going to go back and watch his old matches. And then it's going to be like, well, what happened after this? What happened after that? So like, if I'm trying to build value in my content, I'm incorporating nostalgia into those things so that you go back and you watch Kurt Angle matches based on watching his A&E documentary. And that's where I think the nostalgia is really important, is that you get that. I mean, if WWE wants to be Disney, then let's have 8-year-olds watching. Let's have 80-year-olds watching. Let's have everything in between.
I think it's going to be very interesting to see the lead up to WrestleMania 39 here. I know just recently they had the launch party. I think that while we've been seeing some Triple H stuff recently, I think, you know, yeah, he's bringing people back, you know, there's things happening, but I don't think we're still probably a couple months away before he can kind of feed out all of the old Vince stories and kind of start building his own. Like, I know that's why, I know I've been watching a little bit more recently is because to see what happens, I'm just interested, but I know everyone, oh, this, you know, we're drinking the Triple H Kool-Aid. This is the Triple H stories. I think we still have a ways to go before it's fully his product, but you're seeing some of it. But I think WrestleMania could very much be a jumping off point for what he's doing. Stopping the count. You know, both guys back in the ring or all the guys.
Angle hit Rock with a rock bottom. Rock hit Taker with a choke slam so far. I might have missed something else, but those have happened for sure so far.
Yeah.
Pretty wild match, man.
I think the celebrity status of being in Hollywood, like they've already got Snoop Dogg involved, which, you know, there's that's going to be playing out. You've got a lot of celebrities, no matter how you feel about, like, you know, there might be some random celebrities in there and stuff that we don't, you know, necessarily care about or anything like that. But, you know, we are going to see more of that pulling out.
Taker hit an angle slam.
And I think to your point about the nostalgia, they could have a lot of eyes on WrestleMania just based on the celebrities they bring in, based on the matches that they have, because at that point I would hope it's all Triple H, you know, everything is kind of funneled through and we kind of know, you know, it'll be his stories. But
I think, you know, you bring up celebrities. I think, let's just say twice a year. I think a couple times a year, you just load these shows up with celebrities. And I'm not saying I love it, but it's gotten a lot better. Like that Johnny Knoxville match was fun. Okay. The Paul brothers, I know nothing about that. I knew nothing about them. Okay. So it did nothing for me, but the Logan Paul thing completely growing on me. I've been starting to listen to a couple episodes of his podcast. Just a likable dude.
Like, well, he had Triple H on too. I don't know if you caught that one.
I love McAfee. I just wish he wore better ring attire.
And I know Triple H was on Logan Paul's podcast. I don't know if you caught that one.
Did you watch it or listen?
I caught most of it. Yeah. Stephanie was kind of there.
Do you listen
too,
or do you watch?
I listened on that one. Yeah.
So I've been watching video podcasts a little more often. They're kind of, I mean, the well-produced ones are really interesting. I kind of like watching.
Well, and I like that. That setup was nice too, because Stephanie got involved. She was kind of off by, on the side, but she was there. And so that was kind of nice as well too. I've been a Pat McAfee because, I'm based out of Indiana now. So watching Pat McAfee and being Colts player, that was the part of the storyline that got missed when Corbin was sitting behind him and had his mugshot on the poster board. Not everybody knew that that was his mugshot, but I had just sent it to you a couple weeks prior. And so you and I knew what was happening. And so, because that was when he was first year, Colts punter, just terrible. Didn't know what he was doing. He admits that. He talks about it openly now, but that was a great.
What happened? Did he get a DUI?
He got, I don't know if he got a DUI, but he was found drunk in an area called Broad Ripple, which is kind of the bar district. Yeah. And he was, if I remember the story right, he was drunk and in there's a little creek that flows through there. And so he was in the water drunk. And then he got out. It was knocking on a car because he needed dry. It was a whole thing. He was drunk as hell.
You can't take the WVU out of the kid.
Oh man. Yeah, absolutely. Partied hard. Yeah. He carried right over. And so, I'm right there with you. I think building some of these people now, they're having some misses too. Some of these, name, image, likeness people that they're signing, these big classes, you got to remember they are college kids. And so some of them are messing up their lives in the college still. And so you've got some that are kind of playing out well, some that, we'll have to just wait, kind of see what happens. I do you'll just have to kind of see what Gable Stevenson, we know he's out there somewhere training. And so we'll just kind of have to wait and see here. But, so I keep building it to us. Let's kind of see what's happening, things like that. And I think more and more though, I think that Triple H kind of building some of these stars, especially Scarlett and Karrion Kross, and kind of, bringing some of these people back. I'm interesting. It was a great reveal with Bailey, Dakota, and EO and stuff like that. So I think that's what gets me excited, the nostalgia too, kind of doing some of that stuff. So I think, really having WrestleMania marked on the calendar, it's going to be a big event this next year.
Angle busted open.
Yeah. He's been getting his ass kicked in this match.
I've seen him do one offensive move.
Yeah, he's been the cannon. Oh, he is dripping blood. Oh, yeah, my God.
Pretty bad.
That's Orton level right there. Yep.
I think with Triple H, you might get the best of both worlds, which is, hey, let's take these freak athletes. That are involved in college sports. Let's see if we can turn them into wrestlers. But Triple H also has no problem signing a killer indie guy either.
Yeah, I think so than Vince ever would.
You get the best, right? It's not going to be like Vince, where Vince McMahon. What Vince McMahon is like? He's like every other guy in his late 70s. All right. Mm-hmm. So when you say, oh, Vince McMahon, he's stubborn, he hasn't changed his ways, and, blah, blah, blah. It's Vince is an eccentric character, don't get me wrong, and obviously, he's to the extremes in certain characteristics. But Vince McMahon was a 78 or whatever he is year old business owner that's just like any other late 70s business owner that's still around, you know? Go walk into a company that has a 77-year-old that's still heavily involved. His kids are going to be around. They're going to have new, interesting ideas for the business. The old man's going to be resistant to change. They're probably still going to have paperwork around because they haven't gone digital. The old man's going to be like, why are people working remote? They should all be here in the damn office. I mean, that's just, so it's sometimes we act surprised on Vince's behavior, and it's a generational thing more than anything else.
Well, and I think it angles on the outside with a chair here, kind of hiding. Yep. Oh, try to get Taker there. Nope.
I'm guessing we're still doing chair shots.
We'll find out here soon.
I mean, has Angle done an offensive move?
He's gotten one or two in, but he's getting his ass kicked. He's just bloodied to hell. Yep. And just kind of in the, I feel like he's just really getting pounded on this one. And Taker's the champ on this one. I do want to remind everybody of that as we're kind of watching this. So, there's a low blow when Earl's distracted, and a terrible ref bump there. Here could be coming your chair shot. Yep. Angle looking to set up Taker. Ooh, I think maybe got his hand up there.
Ooh, I don't think so.
Slam! The angle slam! He's got it here!
Everybody laid out now. Nobody can get the cover. Well, and to your point too about all the Vince stuff, I think, yeah, I think that we've not heard even just the little things of announcing things ahead of time. You know, we've got the full women's bracket for the tag titles. We got, you know, we know what's going to happen on Raw before, you know, the week, you know, there's a little bit more planning of kind of what we're going to see the next
week.
You're
going to have plans that are done 72 hours in advance versus 5 minutes.
Well, and and not to say it won't happen, but I feel like this year and last, we heard a lot of stories about like the script getting ripped up the day of, or them, you know, we were in the dirt sheets, like they were rewriting everything the day of. And so not to say that that won't happen, but we've definitely not heard it since Vince left.
I mean, I think it's always happened. I don't know if it's necessarily gotten worse. I think what's changed is like, you have like, these younger employees that are like, look, this is the worst writing job anywhere. Like, yep. There's no job in Hollywood that's this hard, that's this demanding, that this like discouraging. Like, you come up with these ideas, you work hard, then you got a 77-year-old man that's like telling you, you know, what to do, and they're ripping it up right before. And, you know, you can't challenge people too much because you'll get fired, or, you know, you'll get in trouble for it. It's just a horrible work environment. I mean, and again, I'm not bashing Vince. Obviously, deeply flawed person, a lot of strengths, a lot of weaknesses, very polarizing person. And, you know, he built a, whatever, $5 billion company. So obviously he did a lot right. But the creative process over the last, you know, number of years just does not seem like it breeds the best efforts of people, the highest morale. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I just think like how many.
Oh, it's a doozy of a finish here, man.
Yeah,
they're really in their sweet spot here.
Oh, big. Oh, he's going. Nope. Power bomb. Angle fighting out of it. Oh, just kind of took him down weird.
Yep.
So Angle's like up on his shoulders, like he's got him kind of locked in. Taker's like choking him. Rock is laid out, just kind of a weird. Is he gonna power him up here? Maybe. Wow. Yep. Taker powering Angle up. He kind of getting a half-ass power bomb on him, but Angle's still got him locked in. Yep. Oh, arm lock. Yep. There you go.
Wow. Very creative.
Fighting hard here. Yeah, this is nice. Yeah, it has been interesting seeing like who has come out. A lot of people, you don't see this anymore either. Kind of checking the arm. There's one, two, maybe. Yep. Oh, but the Rock breaking it up before the third. Be nice to see that come back. Kind of checking it. Yeah, like some of the people that have come out in support of Vince actually are like, hey, like that's fine. Like everything. Like, yes, he's flawed. Like a lot of these people are, but. Like you can't, you know, it's going to be that weird line that we're going to always have to be talking about now is like, you know, where do you still have to acknowledge his accomplishments? Like, you know, he did give us what, you know, this wrestling empire that we now have, you know, Triple H, it was funny because I know he cut some shit recently for saying like, oh yeah, it was just territories before Vince did what he did. It's like, no, not necessarily.
He said on Logan Paul. And of course, everyone that has a strong opinion on this didn't actually listen to it, and they have no context for it. What he said.
And wait a minute.
Rock bottom.
I've never seen a match like this. That's it. That's it.
What he said was, he goes, you know, before Vince came along, everyone was wrestling in smoky bars.
Okay.
If you're watching the interview and you understand the context, clearly he wasn't saying, hey, no wrestling took place in an arena. Only it existed in bars. He was, it's a metaphor. It's a exaggeration. The point was, is like, there were a lot of smoke filled, you know, small arenas. you know, small venues, and he put it on a major platform, put it on pay-per-view. So when I heard that, I'm like, that makes sense. I mean, obviously you don't mean that there was, you know what I mean?
They've got to put it in the context of where he said it. Yeah. It
so literally.
Yeah. On the rock bottom here. Oh, we got it real quick. Taker tried to roll over and stop it. Couldn't. There you go.
Wow. All right, let's get to the aftermath.
Oh, it's time for the aftermath.
What'd you think of that one?
That was good. That was hard hitting by the end. Like, it just really kind of, like, Angle took a beating on that. And so, but it was still very good match. Like, definitely exceeded what I was thinking. Both, or I say both, everybody still looks strong as well, too. A lot of hard hitting. Taker taking just a monster chair shot, but a lot of finishers on that. Guys kicking out last second. So, like, a lot happening. That was a good one. Sports entertained, you know?
That was a hell of a main event.
Yeah, that was crazy. So,
you know, it makes you wonder why they don't do more three ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, all three guys look strong. You know, no one, you know, one guy didn't have to take a pin. You know, you can do that kind of chaotic finish where, you know, it's not like, I mean, no one looks weak.
Mm-hmm.
But man, that was fantastic. Huge pop at the end for The Rock. And I mean, keep in mind, this is kind of, we're winding down on The Rock's time. I mean, you know, lose to Lesnar the following month.
And then he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty much gone. I mean, he was around a little bit, you know, did the one more match with Austin at WrestleMania 19, lost to Goldberg, and then it came back for 20. But I mean, he was barely around, you know, not long.
Yeah,
what a finish.
So kind of what happened after this one, of course, you have The Rock winning, you know, this was the Undisputed Championship at this point. And so, and then, like we've been talking about, right into the feud with Brock, you know, at SummerSlam, we know Brock winning that one, being the youngest champ, all that good stuff, you know, go back in the archives. We've got that match in there. And so it was really, not his last match, but his last match for a while. And so, it was actually, Royal Rumble 2013. And so, would have to go back for him to kind of, you know, have another title run. So, so after losing this one, you had Kurt Angle actually going on to take on Rey Mysterio. There was a at SummerSlam, and then you had Undertaker having, I'll say, just a short feud with Test at this point. And so, all these matches were, it's interesting because there was a lot, like we discussed at the top of the show, a lot of very good matches on this SummerSlam 2002 card. Everything pretty well ranked. It was shockingly enough, this Undertaker Test match was actually the lowest ranking match on this one, regards to just star quality. And then, but yeah, again, you know, this one you had again Kurt Angle and Mysterio opening the show at three and three quarter stars. You had Undertaker and Test were 2 1/4, and then Brock and Rock were 3 3 1/4. So everyone, you know, really good kind of period right now to kind of be watching and stuff like that. So PWI, where all these guys ranked at this point, though, you had Kurt Angle at number 6, The Rock at number 9, Taker was number 2 in 2002. And so, the PW torch on this one, Rock beat Undertaker and Kurt Angle to capture the title. He pinned Angle in 1947. They did each other's signature moves early. The middle was slow. The ending had great near falls. The final third of the main event match was breathtaking and dramatic. The near falls were very well orchestrated. The middle dragged almost as if they had more time to fill than they expected. I don't necessarily agree with that. Kurt Angle was the WWE MVP during the first 6 months of 2002, and he continued to make a strong case again this month for winning that year-end award. Equally impressive was the work of The Rock, who, despite taking several months off, looked sharp during the main event. Undertaker wasn't asked to do much, but held up his end of the exceptional co-main event. Having Rock win the match made a lot of sense because it sets him up to do a job to Brock at SummerSlam. Good call there. With Rock heading off to make another movie. And so the PW Torch gave this one 3.5. Observer newsletter on this one, Rock beat Kurt Angle and Undertaker in a triple threat match. 4.25 stars. As much as I hate the fact that Rock won the belt from Taker by pinning Angle, it was a great match with a great finish, so I'll forgive them. And then I thought that this quote, I don't know if I read this before, but it's been a while, so I found, if the plan is to give a big push to Lesnar and put the belt on him at that show, Rock was realistically the best person to be given the job of putting him over. As far as stars of his magnitude are concerned, Rock has been the least selfish top guy in the history of this business, putting over absolutely everybody that he's been asked to, usually in a good to great matches. Lesnar should be no exception, and since Rock is a bona fide movie star and mainstream celebrity, he will give credibility to Lesnar in losing that nobody else in the company could even approach. It will be the biggest match of Lesnar's career and almost certainly the company's most important match of the year. So lot to break down there. Like I said, the Torch 3.5, the Observer 4.25. Tom, what are you thinking here?
So the actual match was really, really good. Obviously, this was kind of thrown together, and it was basically just to get the belt on the Rock.
Yep.
So no classic storyline or great build to this, but just an awesome 20-minute match. Overall, I'm going to put this at a 7.5. Mm-hmm. How about yourself?
I'm going to put it right where a little bit under you with just a 7. I think that, yeah, the aftermath, there wasn't much. They did have good matches after this, but the goal was really just to get the belt onto Rock and so they could do the job. And so that I'd say a little bit lower because the story, this was really an effort of another story and not this one. And so that's okay because then these guys still had matches. Like sometimes that's just the nature of it and that's all right. But I still think it was very good nevertheless. And the match exceeded what I was looking for. Like I was really surprised, especially by the end. I think, and we were talking through the middle, but I didn't think it was slow. One guy may have been out of the ring or something like that, but I don't think that made for a bad match in any means. Other than that, I thought it was just really good other than that. So absolutely. So that's where I'm at. Good stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, fun episode.
Yeah, it really was. I was glad we covered this one.
You picked a good one.
I try, man. You know, after some of the stinkers that we've had, I feel like this summer we've had some not so great ones. But I will say one thing that was not a stinker, one thing that is good, of course, as we always say in the show, make sure to check out manscaped.com using that promo code payoff20. They had a sale recently, but that, it's kind of over now, so no more 20%. So make sure you're using our code at payoff20 at manscaped.com. It's free shipping. It's 20% off everything in the store. It doesn't matter what it is. Get it now. It's time, with the cool weather, make sure you're looking good, all that good stuff, taking care of yourself. That's what it's all about. So manscaped.com payoff20.
All right. Well,
send them home happy.
Got another good one, planned for next week that I'm looking forward to. Appreciate you listening. And we'll see you next week as always on an all new episode of The Payoff.